Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. King of kings, Lord of love, we magnify your name. We bless you, Father, that you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, you didn't leave us alone in a mean world. God, Father, you didn't leave us without a father. You didn't leave us without a mother. You didn't leave us without grace and love, but you sent love in your Son. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you that you showed us what love means. You went to a cross for us. Jesus, you had to die so we could live. Oh, Lord, you showed us how to live. Bless you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that before the world began, way before all this started, you decided to choose us to be your people, to adopt us as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. We magnify your name, God of light. You make us a family of love, a family of hope. Father, we bless you this morning and we thank you. Lord, you have given us so great a salvation, so great a love. And we pray, Lord, now that you would grant your Spirit in power, that your word would go forth and have free course among us this morning, that your Spirit might apply its truth to our lives where we need it most. We love you and we bless you. And we look and extend ourselves to you as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You may take your seats. Well, it is an absolute delight to be here this morning, to be able to share this time with the singles. As Barbie mentioned, we had the privilege. I said in the first service that God's plan A for us, for me, was about down C on my original list, because I figured that, you know, when you come to Jesus and you're about 17 years old and you begin to pray, that around about 21 years old, you should have somebody sweet hanging on your side. And, you know, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So I said, hey, I think that'll work. So I began to pray and pray. And then I begin to get these little invitations in the mail. You are cordially invited to rent a tuxedo and join me as to be one of my groomsmen. And I said, you know, Lord, this is pretty cool. But after about 10 years of that, I said, Lord, when do I get to rent my tux? And after 20 years of that, I went to fasting. But you know, just like Barbie said, through it all, through it all, what God showed me is that the destination is not really as important to us as the journey. Because it is the journey that God uses to shape my life. Because if God wants to transform you, God ain't about just a little veneer outside jobs. He wants to do some renovation. And when you do renovation, you got to do surgery, because it's got to get down deep enough to deal with the issue. And you see, what God did is, when he holds you out there in the desert, y'all, look, I had the privilege of living in Russia. It's cold. I'm from Texas. I'm from Third Ward, Houston. And I am not used to no Siberian heart. And I got over there and they got folk with icicles upon their eyelashes and stuff. And I'm going, Lord, what am I doing over here? And the Lord said, look, I am the potter, and you are the clay. And I'm at work, so get out the way and let me do my thing. And what God showed me is that my singleness was God's laboratory to work in me. It was the work of the potter on the clay of my life, because there were some things in Eddie that he could only shape and form and fix by having me wait till I was 1 month from my 40th birthday to get married. See, that's the God we serve. Now, I'm glad some of y'all didn't get up and run out the church already. See, but I'm going to tell you, some of us just take a little longer to get it. You know what I'm saying? So this morning, I would like to open the scriptures in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 9 to verse 12. I want to take my time this morning, so we're only going to do verse 9. That's all we're going to have time for. And I think you'll see what I mean when we get to it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to verse 12. We'll read that, and then we will focus on only verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. I would like to speak to us this morning on the subject, a life worthy of the Lord. A life worthy of the Lord. Singles, we are talking about a life worthy of the Lord. May God bless His word as we dig and jump right into it right now. Now look at the very first phrase of verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have... Whoa, stop right there. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you. Now see, one of the things that I want to say again, I know that many of us in this place today, most of us, I would hope to believe, are people who take serious reading the Bible. And some of us probably study the Bible. One of the principles of Bible study and Bible reading is that when we read something and a question comes up, we should always first go to the context in which we're reading to be able to understand it. Because if we look at this and we ask, well, what did Paul hear that he was so excited about? Look first in the context. It's easy to just go spinning off in 10 different directions, but let's first look at the context, because he answered his own question earlier. So look up in verse 4, and we're just going to look at verses 4 through 6. And let's ask again, what was it that Paul heard that he was so excited about with his thing since the first day he heard? What did he hear about them? Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it does also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. I'd like to speak to us this morning here about three foundations for a worthy life. Three foundations for a worthy life. The first foundation. I hope y'all are ready for this, because we're going to jump into it. The first one is faith. My question to us this morning is, are we becoming men and women of faith? Am I using my single years to grow as a man of faith, as a woman of faith. Now, what I mean by that is that a person of faith knows what they believe and they do it. Now, the problem is that we got a whole celebrity culture around us now that tells us I can believe this and I can live however in the world I think I want to live. I can do what I want to do, but I can praise Jesus on Sunday. And God doesn't know anything about that kind of faith. That is not faith. So let's be clear about that. Faith means that I live by what I believe. And we could call what you believe convictions. Men and women of faith are men and women of conviction. That means we know what we believe and we live by it. Now, I find in this world that oftentimes people find themselves, we find ourselves, if we don't watch out, not living by conviction, but by living by emotion. See, I feel like this is probably true, so that's what I should act on. Well, I'm here to tell you, our emotions are not reliable. You see, our emotions are important. Our emotions are important. But the problem is that the emotions were not created to serve in the executive function of our life. See, the executive function of our life is where you make decisions. See, our problem is that we invite the emotions into the office of the executive function. And so we just get all excited and we make decisions. Oh, just go buy it. Ching, ching. All right. I feel good, so I buy it. Ain't got nothing to do with the budget. What's the budget? What is the bank? What does the checkbook say? God calls us to be men and women. You want to mess up a marriage? Good. Look, the three top things anybody that knows anything about marriage will tell you, the top three things married couples struggle with are communication, sex, and finances. And if we don't learn how to walk by faith, where we have convictions about how we spend money, we have convictions about how we handle conflict. When we get into a conflict, we don't have to wonder about what we're going to do. Why? Because we have convictions about how we handle things. I don't cover up sin. We bring it out in the open, in the light where you can deal with it. We speak the truth in love. We have convictions as men and women of faith. And God says that he says we do not live. We don't make decisions on the basis of our emotions. Now, see, I do need to say this so we don't get the wrong idea, because, see, people who suppress their emotions just create other problems. We're not saying to suppress our emotions. See, our emotions help us experience life. They're very important. Our emotions help us. They alert us to when something ain't right. And, you know, no, this ain't right. Now, you may not be able to put your finger on it, but your emotions will help you. But the problem is when you take your emotions and you invite them over here, and then you're up in the executive room, and now you say, we're going to do this. And God has given you a mind, a spirit, and a will to function in the executive office of your life. And we need to keep the emotions over here. Keep them plugged in. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. Just don't let them decide. Men and women of conviction, not living out of our emotion. But the second thing I see a lot is our tendency at times, church, to become men and women of opinion. So opinion. So, you know, we're more concerned about what Oprah says than what Jesus says. And I'm not talking bad about Oprah. She's doing good stuff around. But I'm just saying we got to know the difference, church, between opinion and conviction. You know, you come in at the time of the month and you flip over, you get your ebony in or your essence or something, and you flipping all through up in here and you looking, you know, I need to find out just what does a black man really need. So I'm just up in here, and then the 10 things that every man is really looking for. And you just, and you just be in here and getting all up into it. Ain't been to Bible study or nothing. But you know what? We know how to study some. We know how to study some ebony, though. You know that? B-E-T. Oh, look. We can get some opinions about something. You know what I'm saying? And then be forming our convictions on the basis of opinions. See? And see, with our children, you say one word and they can finish the song. Not the title, they can finish the song. See, but you say Galatians 2:20. What? You see, it's okay to have opinion. Don't bring it into the office of conviction. Because God has called us as men and women to be men and women of faith. Men and women of faith are those who walk out and live out of our conviction. See, faith means taking the time to know what I believe and then to do it and then to keep on doing it. When I get threatened, I keep on doing it. When I get challenged, I keep on doing it. When it gets hard to do it, I keep on doing it because God calls us to persevere in faith. If you and I are going to be men and women of God, prepared as singles to be good husbands and godly wives, we become men and women of faith. Faith is this. Let me give you something to think about here for a minute. Faith is an internal belief and conviction that necessarily, now follow me on this, that necessarily affects how I think, how I act, and ultimately, how I feel. Now, I got to say it again because we're going to camp on this one for just a minute here. See, faith is an internal belief, but it's not just an internal belief. The nature of faith is such that faith is what runs how we think. And then it determines how we act, and ultimately it shapes what we feel. Now, see, when we get into this thing, faith, people, you know, the apostle James says, faith without works is dead. Why? He's telling us about what faith is like. Faith is the kind of thing that if you have it, if I want to know what you believe, let me come walk with you for about a week and I'll tell you what you believe. We all got faith. The question is, what is the faith founded in? Faith always has an object. You got convictions, but the question is, are they biblical? Do they reflect the kingdom of God? So what we want to do is bring the word of God in so that we can change our internal belief system so it becomes that of the kingdom of God. That's maturity. You see, the thing is, you see folk, again, they be flipping through the magazine, finding out, how do I get to feel better? I want to feel better. So they have this thing. Well, you know, all you got to do is you get this kind of diet and then you get on your groove and then you get this here and you get your little MP3 thing and then you get all that and then you'll be all right then. Jesus is about transformation, not veneer. And what the Lord says is, look, if you want to be transformed, then your faith has to affect how you think. What the scripture says needs to become how I think, what I think about, how I deal with certain issues becomes what the Bible says about how I deal with certain issues. So as I exercise myself in that, it makes me act differently. As I continue to act differently, I notice I'm beginning to feel different. The problem is I want to feel different without acting different because I haven't thought different, and that's what you call dysfunction. What God has called us to do is to be those who are what? Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Who are transformed by the renewing of your what? He said that for a reason, y'all. He wasn't just taking up space in the book of Romans because he forgot what else to write. You have to be transformed in the spirit of your mind because your mind is where you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so you are thinking and thinking and thinking, and you are becoming and becoming and becoming, and you are acting, acting, acting. And then wonder why you don't feel. So if we want to feel good, we got to start back here at what I'm thinking about, get scripture in there, get my convictions rooted in God's word, so I'm thinking right, so I'm acting right, so that I can feel right. We got to do it right. God wants us to be men and women of faith. Men and women of faith. Let's go to the second one on love. I really want to hit this one. Love. As I wrestled over which way God wanted us to go on this one, I started thinking about 1 Corinthians 13 and all the different, 16-fold description of love, etc., all of this. But it's interesting that when I think about the issue of love, Paul says that their love, he heard about how they loved all the saints. Now, so what I'm wondering about, church, is this. What does it take to be able to love like that? What is it that you and I, how do you love with that kind of love? And you know what the exciting thing is? Like a lot of things in the kingdom of God, it ain't all that complicated. But you got to decide that, as so often in the kingdom, the way to life starts with death. See, and that's the way love is, because God so loved the world, he gave. Love, and so this is connected. So let's jump into this. Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, the way we are able to love others is when we are so full of God's love that we are able to have something that just flows out of us. God didn't say, act loving. He said, become a person who is able to love. Why? Because you are just so full of the love of God, you just push you and Jesus comes out. See, that's what he's talking about. So it's not all that complicated, but see, we have a problem with this word no. See, because here in the Western world, we say no, we follow the Greek model of the word no. See, in the Greek world, so I got to give you a little $10 word here for just a little fun. See, the word noumenal, and that comes from the Greek word nous, which is the word, one of the words from mind in Greek, because it's the idea of ideas, the world of ideas. So here's the way that works. The way that works is I have an idea over here that I want to know. So what I do is I get a book or I watch a video, and then I transfer the idea from here to over here. The only problem is I bypass one important stop on the trip, a little thing called experience. And I think that I can read the book or get the idea, transfer it. I don't have to deal with it because experience is just messy. I don't have to deal with experience, man, because people are messy. You know, my folk are messy. Everybody's messy. I don't want to deal with that. So just give me the idea and then I can know it. You know, that's just like the brother. You know, we saw our drama up here. It was awesome, man. And look at the other sister over here, the brother over here. So they get, except, you know, it's a hot, hot day up here in Cleveland. And so, you know, I need to learn how to swim. So www.howtoswim.com. So they go up there and so they download all this stuff, you know, virtual swimming pool. You know, so they jump in there and they're simulating the freestyle and translating the breaststroke and have three equations for learning how do you get the most force behind your stroke and all this kind of stuff. And so they just go, I mean, they just going 100 miles an hour with their little joystick and everything, just having a good time. And then finally they take the exam and they score a 100 on the exam. So they grab their little diploma they just printed off offline and they run right over to Lake Erie. They say, I know, I believe I can swim. I know I can swim. I got the certificate to prove it. Jump in Lake Erie and drown. Do we know the love of God? Do we know the love of God? See, we read a book and we think we know the love of God. We hear a message and we think we know. We have the idea of the love of God. That's the problem. See, that's the Greek model. You know what the Hebrew, you know what the Hebrew model is, the phenomenological deal? See, the Hebrew model has to do with experience. So that the way we could translate that is, are you experiencing the love of God? Now that's a little different thing, isn't it? Because in a biblical sense, in the way these words are used here in the original text, the idea of knowing God is the idea of experiencing Him. So see, the question is, am I experiencing the love of Christ? Now, let's take this thing down, because today, as we look at this, what we need to realize is that you and I, and all, we're all created in the image of God. God is love. That means that one of the things that is true about our nature is we are created with a need to be loved. Every one of us have it. The biggest, baddest linebacker, I mean, whoever you want to say it, everyone, we all need to be loved. And the problem is we develop sophisticated and convoluted strategies to meet that need for love. See, and the problem is they don't work. But we keep going back to them because we think they are easier than doing what God says. So see, God challenges us that we are created in His image for His purpose, and we are created such that the only thing that will ultimately meet my needs is God's love, not her love or His love. And I'm going to break that down with what I mean by that right now. And as I get my way there, let me talk to the sisters first for a minute. See, sisters, our sisters, their need for love is tied more to their need for security. That's a beautiful thing. And it's one that needs to be nurtured and protected and provided for in a relationship. Men are different. For men, our need for love is tied more to our need for respect and significance. See, we need to be about the thing of dignity. I need to know that my stuff is counting for something. And look, by the way, when I'm doing my thing, let me do my thing. And God has put that within us as men, that there is an issue of dignity and respect and significance. And our need for love flows and is connected with that need we have. So often, I have had the privilege of working with men who are struggling because as they grew up, there wasn't a father in the home to say to them, you know, when you ran that touchdown last night, I have never seen a person run like that. That when the little sister had her 13th birthday and she looked so sweet with what she had on, and you see she's finally becoming a lady, and there was nobody there to love her. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Y'all hold on to that one. But you see what we're saying here. I'm going to come back to the men for a minute. Is that men, so often we are chasing behind the ghost of the praise and the affirmation that we never got from our fathers. And what God is saying is that my arms are open, run to me, because I'm the father you never had. And the love I have for you will fill up all the stuff you never got. But you have to come to me to get it. You have to come to me to get it. Are we coming to know the love of Christ? See, it is in experiencing the love of Christ, sisters, that we meet our deepest needs for security. And brothers, again, in this issue of significance and respect, it is God that made us. It is God who will judge us. And it is God who is our Father. These other folk running around saying all this stuff didn't make you, and they're not going to judge you. God made you, and you're going to answer to Him. And He is your Father. So we have a foundation in who God is to experience His love as a Father, even when we haven't got it from other places. Now, I got one other place I want to go with this, because I really like, I mean, you know, I ain't got deep enough yet, so I need to go one more level down here on this. So let me start with my sisters here for a second. Love. Knowing the love of Christ, are sisters, are we experiencing it, or are we just hearing about it? Now listen at this. Sisters, to the degree that we experience the love of Christ, we will be secure in His unchanging and perfect love, so that it makes it unnecessary to run after what I call the half-baked rap. Sister, when you are secure in who you are in Jesus, you don't have to run after the half-baked rap. Now, I know I'm talking a little bit out of the 70s, but y'all forgive me. Because I know we got the whole rapper thing going, but I'm being a little nostalgic this morning. Because, see, I remember back in Houston, you know, it was real hot down in the summer. I remember the brothers who were really cool, they had their little rag. You know, they'd be walking around, they had their, you know, hey there, baby, what's been going on, you know. And then they'd be quoting the last few lines off of Barry White or something, you know, hey, you know. They'd be talking about love's theme and stuff. And all, I mean, just put that little, and what are they doing? What are they doing? They are pushing in on the vulnerability of a woman who has not had the love of her father and or her mother to fill her up, to let, because when she was a little child, she didn't have that mother or that father looking into her eyes and telling her how beautiful she is. And they didn't have the when she was headed off to school in the morning and she was scared, they didn't have somebody who was sitting down and says, look, honey, no matter what those kids tell you at school, don't worry, God made you. You are beautiful. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. And we love and send you off with a hug so big she feels it all day long. But she didn't get that. So when this smooth talking, jive bending brother just walks over here with his little rag, you know, baby, what's, you know, and runs his little thing down, his half-baked rap pushes in and hurts the sister because she's vulnerable. Now, check it out. When I say half-baked, let me tell you what I mean. A half-baked rap is a rap that ain't got a life behind it. It's a rap that doesn't have a life behind it. That doesn't have a character to sustain it. That doesn't have substance to secure it. That's what I'm talking about. And by the way, don't diss the brother too much. Because you see, the same brother who's doing the rap didn't have anybody at home. And the question is, where did he get the rag from? Who taught him that that's what it means to be a man? Don't throw the brother away. Disciple the brother. Help him understand what it means to be a man in the kingdom of God. Help the brother. So if he wants to rap, then give him 100% rap. Give him a rap that's got some meat to it. You know, since I'm kind of halfway close to Motown over here, I got to thinking, you know, back in the 60s and stuff. Sorry, y'all. I remember seeing my dad was a musician. I got a chance to go to a concert where the Temptations and the Supremes were playing. And I remember Diana Ross, when Diana would get up there and she would sing, you know, Keep You Hanging On. And when she was singing that song and she would say, hold on, what are those words? Oh, yeah, she said, you just keep me hanging. She did what she would say. She would say, go, go on, get out of my life. And I said, whoa, tell it, sister. Because you know what? This is what I'm saying to us, church. The scriptures say to us, perfect love casts out fear. And so many of our sisters are fearful in these things. They are scared. And I'm telling to you, let him go. You don't need that. You love Jesus, you are a queen. You don't need his half-baked rap. You don't need his half-baked rap. And when he starts putting it, if you love me, you would, you know. If you knew what love meant, you wouldn't even be bringing the subject up, brother. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. Sisters, don't go for the half-baked rap. Have your convictions solid. Know the love of Jesus that can fill you and anchor you, and you will not be vulnerable to that. Now, you know I got to mess with the brothers. So, brothers, let me ask you this. Let's make it real. Can you walk away from the sister who knows how to stroke your manhood and make you feel like you're a real man? Oh, yeah. There's some sisters, you know what? They ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Wouldn't hardly know a Bible. They wouldn't know which way to flip to get to Revelation. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a few things they do know how to do. The scripture says that she knows how to allure you. You know what allure means? That's what you do when you go fishing. You put a piece of bait on a hook and you throw it out there, and the fish comes swimming by and it goes, oh, that's a beautiful meal, and it bites it and gets a surprise. Huh? See, Proverbs says she catches him with her eyelids. And sisters, you know, I've seen I have seen strong men. You look at their knees. I say, hey, brother, what happened? You look at that backbone just get to swaying, you know. You know, wait a minute. A brother, you know, he just, you know, what does it say? Like an ox to the slaughter. Men, we need to tighten it up. We need to be men who are full of the love of God, so that when the sisters start to do their thing, when they are not sisters who know and love Jesus, that we can do, if we need to do, what Joseph did and flee. Because brothers, sometime you need to run up out of there. You don't need to be up here quoting your... But let me see now. What did Pastor James say last? Ain't no time. There ain't no time for what Pastor James said at the seminar. You better run and get out of there. So men, what I am saying to us is that we will cave in if we don't have substance under the image of what it means to be a man. I love to put it like this a little bit. Oftentimes as men, we are so busy building our image way out here, we aren't careful to bring the character under the image, so that when the pressure of temptation comes, there's not sufficient foundation to sustain you. And it cracks off and the brother caves into the temptation. It ends up with all kinds of consequences. God calls us as men to be men of substance as well as image. Don't spend all your time, brother, building the image to support your significance. The image to give you respect. The image to build up your dignity. That is the way the world advises us. God tells us that it's his love that defines my manhood. It's his love that anchors my significance. It's his love that sustains my dignity. I don't get that from these other things. When I am rooted in the love of Christ, I'll be able to love others because my need for love will be met. See, one of the biggest issues in singlehood is for men to learn to get their needs for security and significance and respect to be met through their relationship with Jesus and his love. for the sisters in their singlehood to learn to get their need for security met through Jesus. The problem is that we are trained in our society to look to the other person to get that. And there's a problem with that. I told the early church service, Barbie and I were in Africa about a week and a half ago. And I love the way the Africans tell Proverbs, because it's just like right down, right up there where folk live. I mean, it's beautiful. And it's like, you know, I think about that, like, if you think about a tick, you know, I mean, just like a regular tick. Because, I mean, I love the brothers. They just bring it right down where people live at. And so here you got this little tick. So he jumps on this dog. And I can guarantee you that that tick is not thinking, how can I be a blessing to this dog? I want to be a selfless tick. I am not here for myself. I want to be a blessing to this dog. That tick is only just going to town, getting his full fill, everything he wants. Now, see, here's the problem when it comes to relationship. The problem in a relationship, y'all, is that we got two ticks and no dog. Because you got the husband trying to get all his needs met from her, this poor little sister. You got the sister trying to get all her needs met from him. And you got two people trying to get something. Where are they going to get the source? They have no source. Jesus is the source. And if you get plugged into him, you'll have something to give to her. Sister, if you get something from him, you'll have something to give from Jesus to your husband. But when we get plugged into each other, we are trying to extract from each other. Don't do that to one another. We have to be trained in godliness so that our need for security and love is met through Jesus. So we don't squeeze and choke the brother to death. Our need for significance and for respect and dignity. We don't choke our wife trying to get that from her, because we're getting it from Jesus. And so whether he provides it or not, our tank is full and we are all right. God help us to love one another because we are being filled with his love. Well, I need to finish quickly with just a couple of comments on hope. And on hope, what I want to just say to us briefly on hope is this, is that hope is firm expectation based on certain knowledge. See, hope is what anchors you and me in the storm. Hope is what helps us to persevere when things don't look like they're going to get any better. And we men and women, young single men and women, need hope as well as we need faith and we need love. And I love Isaiah 48, 28 to 31. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, that's the word, hope, wait. Those who hope, who wait on the Lord, will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. This is the power. When we hope in God, when our hope is not in that I'm gonna find him next week, or it just takes one more website and then I hit it. No, when my hope is in God, that means that there is something solid I am anchored in. Hebrews 6:19, we won't have time to go there, talks about hope being an anchor for us. See, and the anchor is not floating in the water. The anchor is hooked on the soil of the bottom. See, it is solid. And we who love Christ and are walking as men and women who have hope are those whose future is rooted in the promises of God and not in the whims of things that change in circumstances. So when we struggle, when we are in the storms of life, our hope comes from the certain knowledge of who God is and what he has said in his word. And that for us is an anchor for our soul in times of struggle. I remember those long nights living in Moscow as a single man, 38 years old and still single, and going, oh, Jesus, how much longer? And you know, it was just like Barbie shared. It was the word of God that gave consolation to my soul. When I would go home and all the other brothers would go home to their wives, and I'd go home to my four white walls by myself with me and Jesus. But you know what Jesus did is he met me in those hours by myself in a way that nobody else could understand, because he knew what Eddie needed. And he held me. God is a God of hope. And our future is always as bright as the promises of God. So I just stopped by this morning to remind us that God calls us as single, as married men and women, that we would be men and women of faith, of conviction, that we would be men and women of love, because we are filled with the love of Christ. And so we are secure and we don't have to go run after stuff. And lastly, that we are people of hope, because God's blessed promises give us hope. And they anchor us in the storms of life. Let me just have a word of prayer as I invite Pastor up for the invitation. Lord, we do thank you this morning that your word speaks so incisively to us. Father, we thank you that you haven't just left us adrift on the sea of life, but you, Lord, have spoken into our lives and into our hearts. You have given us your word of faith. You have given us the example of love, and you have given us a hope that cannot be shaken. Lord, I pray with my brothers and my sisters here, especially those who are single, would you help us to become men and women of faith, men and women of love, men and women of hope, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank God. Thank you, Brother Eddie. And Eddie, you used to have a dog. What was your dog's name? Woodstock. Woodstock. I remember one time I was staying with Eddie, and I was allergic to dogs. And I think Woodstock was stalking me, man. I'm sleeping in my room. Woodstock knows it's off limit. I wake up and Woodstock is laying right on my pillow looking at me, man. We thank God for you. We thank God for Sister Barbie. Amen. This man and this woman, they're the genuine article. So we thank God for them. They're really speaking out of their lives. And we thank God for their credibility. What we're going to do before we have the invitation, I need to see the hands of the singles who RSVP'd throughout this past week. Amen. Amen. We need you to stand at this point. And if you all would just dismiss yourself, someone's going to direct you downstairs and get you seated. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord for our single brothers and sisters. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. And we're just going to continue to have church downstairs in another venue. Yes. Now we need to see the hands of the other singles who are going to be attending the banquet, the fellowship downstairs. Can we see your hands? Amen. 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 At this time, can you go ahead and stand and excuse yourself? Amen. And they're going to direct you downstairs as well. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to have a Holy Ghost good time. Good time. Amen. Now, those of us who are remaining, can we stand together for the closing of the service? Let's bow in prayer together. Let's bow. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to close us in prayer, but I'm also going to give an invitation. God has been speaking to you. today, God has been speaking to you in your life, and you need prayer. You need someone to pray over you and pray for you. Somebody who can get a prayer through. You may be here today, and as much as you come to church, you've never truly given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is beckoning you today to give him your all, to enter into a marriage relationship with him, a covenantal relationship with him. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths Jesus as Lord, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. If you need that, you come forward when the invitation is given. There are others here where you need to rededicate your life. Whatever reason, you've gone astray, you've struggled, and you want to get back on track with the Lord. When the invitation is given, you come. There are others who need prayer because your heart is heavy. Maybe you're going through bereavement. Maybe you've got sickness in your body. You're going through some struggles in relationships or some struggles in life. Maybe you've got financial struggles, but you need somebody to pray for you who can get a prayer through. And so when we close out this time, we want you to come forward. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we truly, truly, Lord, thank you so much for this time. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to move in our midst, dear God. We thank you for all that you have done, dear Lord, in this place through Brother Eddie, through Sister Barbie. We thank you for the worship that has come forth today, dear God. Father, did not our hearts burn? And we thank you for that, Lord. Now, Father, we know you don't just burn our hearts for us to say our hearts burn. You burn our hearts to move us, to stir us, dear God, to make decisions of change. And so, God, we pray that we would be men and women who are continually repenting, continually looking to grow and to become more and more like Jesus. And be with us now, even in this time of invitation. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come forward, you come forward at this time. Don't leave just yet. Everybody stand still. And